I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You know, we actually have NFL, MLB, and NBA stories at the same time today, which is rare for this time of year. I mean, obviously, the football season is over. The Super Bowl happened, in case you missed it. Chiefs won. Shakira and J-Lo did the halftime. Major League Baseball has not begun yet. And the NBA is post-All-Star break, but pre-playoff. So, usually, this is one of the slower times of the year. I think if you were power ranking sports talk months, it would be, you know, February and August would be the two that would be at the back of the line, generally. You know, August has nothing going on. And in February, typically, it's like, all right, when's March Madness or whatnot? You're in a little bit of a slow spot, a break in the schedule. But, like I said, stories in all those leagues right now. NBA back in action last night. Lakers win. Zion continues to dominate. I don't think, you know, we're quite... It's weird because we talked so much about Zion before, but I don't know if people quite realize how good he's been since he actually came back into the lineup. He's been absolutely dominating for the Pelicans. They beat the Blazers last night. In the NFL, there's a negotiation currently going on, if you want to call it that, between league ownership and the NFL players on a new CBA. One of the proposals from the owners was about an expanded playoff format. Now, they say they don't even need the players for the approval of that, but they sent the they sent a proposal to the players, and it sounds like the players are no on that initial proposal. Now, that can just lead to negotiating and the like. And I always wonder how into, you know, these sort of topics fans actually are up until the point where there is a possible work stoppage, right? Because we got a while before that could actually happen. There's plenty of time for them to resolve all this. So I won't, you know, sit here and tell you I think there's going to be a work stoppage or anything like that, because there was a point in time where I believed that, but they've gotten further than I thought up until this point, even if the players reject this proposal and then there's posturing. I mean, remember, negotiations can play out publicly. They can play out over a long period of time. Let's go to the Ezekiel Elliott negotiations for a second. Like, how many hours were spent talking about that when it just got done, right? Like, it felt like, oh, this move by them or is he trying to, you know, increase his leverage? Is Jerry Jones saying they don't need him and running backs are disposable? And then they got it done. So I don't want to make too much of any, you know, one specific thing that happens in this back and forth, like J.J. Watt coming out and saying it's a hard no on the proposal, because I do believe at this point it'll eventually get signed. The expanded playoff format, which would include you know, seven teams making the playoffs in each conference, meaning one more team, with the top team receiving a bye instead of two byes. I don't feel that passionately about it, to be honest. I mean, I think the downside you could make is that it waters down the playoff field a little bit more. But the upside is it means the season means more for longer. For instance, the Chiefs would not have had a bye this year under that format. And the Steelers and the Rams would have made the playoffs. There would have been three wild card games in each conference. So that part of it, I actually think I'm probably in favor of. And then there's the 17-game schedule aspect, which you know the league is going to get into this deal. They're going to get that into this deal. The players, that would be a tough pill to swallow if I was a player, just considering how tough a sport football is already. But that's the way it's heading. And then there's the story that just keeps on giving. The Houston Astros and their sign-stealing scandal. It's I don't know if I've ever quite seen anything like it. The time that it has consumed, the passion that it has brought forth, it is truly one of the all-time sports stories. One of the all-time sports talk stories. I mean, I'm talking about February sports. It's a gift from the sports gods in February if you're doing what I do. You could argue, I suppose, for baseball, it's promotion. But I don't know if you want this kind of promotion. Like, there was a point in time I would have made that argument that it was good for baseball to get all this attention. I don't know if you want the World Series to be viewed as tainted. I don't know if you want every player in the game speaking out against one of your teams and your commissioner. And I don't know if you want this idea of people getting hit coming into the season. Because that's another aspect of it, right? Like, the guy's going to throw at people, which I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I've always said that garbage should be out of baseball, and I don't think it should be allowed. But the players clearly feel that the Astros were not punished and that Rob Manfred did not do his job. So you know they're going to try and dole out their own punishment, which means they're going to throw at guys. And then Manfred's going to say, hey, don't throw it, guys. Here's a tough punishment. And then to spite Manfred, they're going to do it anyway. And the situation could just spiral out of control because Rob Manfred's lost control of his league. He's lost control of his league. And he's to blame, really. Because when this when the initial punishment was handed out, I thought it might go away after a little while. And maybe it was trending that way. But you know what gave it new life was the Astros speaking, number one. And that didn't bother me, to be honest, because I knew the Astros weren't sorry. You expect me to think they were sorry? They were going through the motions, reading off prepared statements. They weren't sorry. They had a mastermind scheme. It was like basically organized crime. Of course they weren't sorry. So that part of it, like, duh. But it was the way Manfred handled it that was the most off-putting. Because it was like he was almost condescending about it, indignant about the whole thing. Like, why do I have to be up here talking? And he called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. He said, I've never seen so many players speak out about other players. Like, dude, people care about this. They feel a way about it. You're supposed to be the steward of the game. And you know baseball fans, that's not like normal fans, like, we're always talking about how baseball gains casual fans because they have diehard fans, and their diehard fans felt insulted. And now, in order to put this, genie back in the bottle, the only way I think he could do it is to come out with some other action. And stripping the World Series is the bar that's been put on the table, so I don't know if anything short of that, maybe playoff ban would do it. Otherwise, people are going to think this was mishandled and this will be Rob Manfred's legacy. You know, he will be forever linked to this the way Bud Selig was linked to the steroid scandal. And from players and fans, it seems like this is viewed as worse. So Rob Manfred's legacy is essentially in one of those garbage cans the Astros were banging on. And, you know, every day it feels like there's some new wrinkle to that story, whether it's a particular player speaking out. And in this case, the newest thing has been the situation around Mike Fiers, who was the whistleblower, I suppose, if you will, of this whole scheme. He now plays for the Athletics. He did play for the Astros. But to some, a whistleblower is a snitch. And that's what David Ortiz said about Fiers.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it. And let me tell you why. oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
You know, I actually understand Ortiz's broad point there. His diction is what's going to get him in trouble. The fact that, not actual trouble, but you know what I mean. The word snitch, right? When I talk about organized crime, there's a lot of parallels, I think, between the Astro situation and bigger issues across the country right now. And I can't help but make the parallels because I'd be intellectually dishonest if I didn't. But when people are saying, well, how do you just get away with this stuff? Well, and when you're talking about organized crime, I mean, yeah, it's sort of similar. And the word snitch, right, versus whistleblower. Because a whistleblower would be one who is exposing bad behavior. A snitch, it's like how the inside views the whistleblower, right? And snitch is a term used by criminals, more or less, or you know, guys on the street and the like. And it's breaking a code to snitch. So what Ortiz is saying, hey, Fires, you were intimately involved, at least maybe you weren't direct participant, but you were aware and involved while it was happening, and it's only like after the fact that you're saying it. Like, that part I get. But by using the word snitch, it sends a different message than the actual context of his comments. And all the reaction has led to Fires actually receiving death threats, at least according to him. And you remember before, it's not like Ortiz is the only person who's had a problem. Jessica Mendoza got herself in a little bit of hot water for saying that he shouldn't have told on them or you know, outed the whole scheme. What do you make of the idea of Mike Fiers, the pitcher who shed light on the Astros sign-stealing scandal, being labeled a snitch? 855-212-4227. Really, it's just an excuse for me to say snitch a lot. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lindbergh on Twitter. It is the Robin Lindbergh Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lindbergh Show.
Hey, that guy's a snitch. He just said I'm on the air. I mean, like, snitch. Mike Fiers, who exposed the Astros sign-stealing scandal to some. A snitch is a whistleblower. To others, a whistleblower is a snitch. 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. You know, Ortiz's point, I sort of understood when he said that Fiers didn't say anything during it and waited till after. But the use of the word snitch is not going to go over very well. John Brandio 1 tweets in, my take is if that Fiers had said something while in the Astros, he would be considered a whistleblower. But only saying something after being traded, he looks like a snitch because it seems vindictive rather than wanting to expose. Let's go to Ali in South Florida. You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Ali?
What's going on, man? Hey, you know, I'm a baseball player. You know, I play baseball at different levels, right? And we do whatever it takes to win, okay? And when we do things when it takes to win, it stays in the clubhouse, all right?
It's even if you're you mean if you're cheating, it stays in the clubhouse? Is that what you're saying?
Well, hey, it's not about cheating. It's about trying, you know, doing what it takes
to
win.
Well, no, that's about cheating. They cheated. I mean, like, there's a difference between...
They did cheat, yes. Yeah. But the fact is, whatever you do, stays in the clubhouse. And if it doesn't, then you bring it up in the clubhouse, and then you're a whistleblower. Simple as that, okay? You know, if you have integrity, you do it during the season. You bring it up in the clubhouse. You keep it in the clubhouse, and that's that. You know, the way he did it, come on. That's yeah, I understand what he means by snitching. Come on, man. You did it. You got the ring, and now you want to talk. Come on. Come on.
Now, but I get what you're saying, but the only problem I have is, like, the idea that the behavior is somehow okay because was in the quest of winning.
It's not okay in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you know, you have to have integrity when you play ball. You got to do it the right way. Yes, we understand that. But you will, again, you bring it up in the clubhouse. You keep it in-house. You bring it up to your teammates. You bring it up to your coaches, your trainers. You know, you talk about it like, come on, guys, we're better than this. And they are. You said it yourself. They were made to win either way. They had the team to win. And this is just a blanket over something that they were going to win either way, man.
Well, I don't know if they were going to win either way. I mean, I think they were good. They were definitely a good team. They were, not manufactured team. They weren't a product completely of the cheating. But I can't at this point say that the cheating didn't help them win. I mean, when they play the Yankees, didn't they get destroyed at Yankee Stadium and win close games all in Houston? And you would watch Altuve play then, and he was so clutch, right? It felt like, wow, this guy knows exactly what's coming. How does he do that? Well, maybe he knew exactly what was coming. D99 Chuck tweets in, how about not allowing sign stealing at all? Drawing that line is what leads to this crap. Wake up, MLB. Well, I don't have a problem with sign stealing, to be honest with you. Like, out on the field? How's that? What's wrong with that? You know, my analogy is counting cards. If you go to a casino, they might throw you out for counting cards, but I've never understood how counting cards is against the rules. You're not doing anything other than using your brain. Right? Like, you're not bringing anything else to the table. You're using your brain. You're seeing what cards are coming. You're calculating it. I mean, more power to you if you can do that. That's just being better. The difference would be if you had a camera pointed at the dealer's cards and you knew exactly what was coming. So if you're sitting at second base and you're seeing that a one indicates a fastball, to use the simplest possible example, okay, you figured it out. You deciphered it. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem people had is that it was the use of the technology in order to relay the signs in real time. That was the cheating, not the fact that they deciphered what the signs were, not the fact that they cracked their quote-unquote code. Let's go to John in Dallas. John, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, John?
Nothing much. I just think that it's not fair to the other Astros, and I went to school in Houston, so I love that team until this came out. But the fact is, he is a snitch, in my opinion, and I was a baseball player as well. Because to me, a whistleblower helps the situation. It would have helped the commissioner. A whistleblower tells you when you can still investigate. If he would have went to the commissioner instead of just a reporter and just said it, where now it's just out in the world, now the commissioner could have said, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to say a word. We're going to investigate because we have the information. And then once I find the actual details that Houston was able to hide after he told the reporter and the rest of the world, now he could have taken that World Series. Because as a baseball player, as a kid, like Aaron Judge said, we all dream of the World Series. So to play that game that way bothers me. And yes, we do all steal signs, but there's a way to do it. Infield shifts affect how you steal signs, things like that.
Again, there's nothing wrong with stealing signs in my mind if you're doing it on the field of play. Like, that, it'd be stupid not to do it. You know, but
exactly. Yeah,
but that's I don't understand how people can't see the difference here. Or like,
but people haven't played baseball.
Well, you shouldn't need to play baseball to understand it. I didn't play baseball. I understand it. I mean, like I said, it's like counting cards. If you count cards at a casino, you're just using your brain. If you have a camera focused on the dealer's cards, then you're cheating.
Yeah, but I guess my main thing is the reason why I would agree with David Ortiz is because, in my opinion, he did it from a safe perspective, and he took the investigation away from the commissioner's office, because the way they got the information, they had to investigate. But I mean, unless the Astros were just going to be complete idiots, of course they weren't going to use the exact same system anymore. So their hands were tied as far as how else could they get the information unless they told the players, hey, we're not going to touch you, we just need to know what you're going to do. If he was a whistleblower, in my opinion, that allows the investigation to go on. A snitch is looking to either just tell for the sake of telling, or they're trying to tell to keep themselves out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I don't respect his approach to it.
Well, he wasn't trying to keep himself out of trouble, so we can eliminate that part, right?
Yes, he told just to tell. And so that's where I don't feel like it was a whistleblower situation.
So you're labeling him like, a snitch?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but that's how I view it.
All right.
He would have been a whistleblower if he would have done that while he was with the Astros and just called the commissioner. And then it would have been, hey, we have this anonymous source who told us the situation, and he would have been free and clear.
Well, you know, if you really had a bunch of integrity, you just say it to the media right after the game. My teammates are doing this. You know, like, right out in the open, bring it. That's I would respect.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
You know, David Ortiz called Mike Fiers a snitch while wearing Red Sox gear, right? We forget that the Red Sox are in the investigation as well. All right, are the Astros going to wear Stop Snitching t-shirts this year? They're all going to, you know, snitches get stitches. And the like. I just like being able to talk about it. Law and chocolate, interesting combination, tweets in. First, Fiers was a pitcher. He didn't do anything. Second, if he'd called out his team at the time, he'd have been completely ostracized. Third, how do we know he didn't? Well, I think the third part, we sort of assume he didn't because we don't know, and we would have found out in some way, shape, or form. I'd imagine, I can't say for sure. I agree with the part that, you know, it's tough for him to do it while he's on the team. The Amish Mob tweets in, Robin, is this the most we will talk about baseball the entire year? We will go back to slumping television ratings and 30% capacity baseball parks. Let the boredom begin. Hashtag KD's burner account. I don't know why KD would send that tweet, but as far as the over... Yes, this is the most I've ever talked about baseball, I think, in my entire life, in fact. And I did a New York sports radio show where, you know, baseball is a topic in New York because of the Yankees and the Mets. But when you're talking about like a short period of time and the percentage of a show that it's taken up and the amount of interaction that I've gotten, I think this topic is the most I've ever talked about baseball in my entire life, even though we're not really talking about baseball quite as much. Let's go to Alan in Toronto. Alan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Alan?
Oakland is in Houston at Minute Maid Park, and Mike Fiers is going to be the most unpopular player there. He better ask for police protection. That's my opinion. I'd like to open up a can of worms or a fly in the ointment. I don't know the right phrase. In 2017, there were 6,105 homers, and in 2018, 5,585. And look at the jump, 6,776 last year. And Minnesota had 307, the Yanks 306. I don't have any ironclad proof or indisputable evidence, but I am very suspicious. They say it's the ball being juiced, but I'm not going to dispute that. But sign stealing could be another factor for the 1,236 spike in home runs last year.
But you still think that's across the entire league, though? I mean, we don't have
be across the entire league because Houston is not the only guilty party, Your Honor. They're not the only ones, and there could be somebody else. And I heard Giancarlo Stanton saying he would have hit 80 home runs if he knew what the pitch was coming.
Well,
Cliff Floyd.
But those points don't work simultaneously, right? Like, those points don't, like, you can't say everybody's doing it and then use somebody saying if he was doing it, he would have done better as simultaneous points, you know?
Cliff Floyd was saying that he would have been writing his speech for Cooperstown if he had known what the pitches are coming. So I am suspicious. I don't have any proof, but I am suspicious that they say other people are doing it, not just Houston. And
I mean, there have been people doing, you know, the Yankees were deciphering using the replay monitors, the signs, right? That was one. But that's not quite the same thing. Again, there was some line here crossed by the Astros. So either the Astros and the Red Sox were the only people doing it to this degree, or the rest of Major League Baseball is a bunch of self-righteous liars, right? Like, those are the two. The latter thing is not impossible. I remember when Ryan Braun got caught for PEDs and he did a little press conference. He said, may lightning strike me dead if I did this. And then he blamed the poor sample collector. Remember the sample collector thing where he's basically accused this guy of tampering with his sample, and then later he admitted he did it, even though he said, "May lightning strike me dead if I did this." So, I mean, people are capable of lying like that. Rafael Palmeiro, another example, right? But in this instance, the reaction from the peers has been so strong and seemingly so authentic that it's hard for me to believe that this wasn't insulated to the Astros and maybe the Red Sox to the degree that it was done. You know, there's some line. I don't know where exactly. I guess it's the real-time aspect of it and the technology plus the real-time aspect of it. But there is a line that the Astros crossed in the minds of other baseball players. Mark in Fort Worth, Texas. Mark, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My deal with Mike Fiers is he did the right thing by telling what was going on. I agree that he probably didn't do it while he was there because he would have been ostracized. The next thing is maybe what he's done and why everybody's mad is he peeled back a layer of the good old boys club that everybody was – we just kind of do this and didn't let anybody know what was going on. Now they know. And then the other thing is Cliff Floyd and all them saying that they could have hit 80, 90 home runs, whatever, they don't know the location. They don't know where the ball is going to come. They know it's a fastball. High and tight, low and away, what? They didn't know that. So I don't think that gives any credence to what their comments are based on him. He's not a snitch. He's a whistleblower, and whistleblowers, that's what they do. He's still in the league. He didn't run. He's still playing. He's going to accept all kinds of crap just as much as the Astros are going to get, correct? Number two is the Astros should be stripped of the title, and it's a shame that they gave the players immunity against – now they're coming out and admitting what they've done, like you just made with Ryan Braun. Now they're admitting what they did was wrong. They should all be suspended. The whole team should be suspended for as far as they can find out what was involved in it and then go from there. That's my opinion.
Well, yeah, at this point, though, he can't suspend them. So the only way to punish the players is to punish the team in a way that punishes the players, like stripping the World Series or like banning them from the postseason. Something along those lines would be the way to do it. 855-212-4227. I see Carlos Correa on TV right now at the lower third saying, Astros players say they have been receiving death threats. So, I mean, I guess when you say death threats, too, it's how seriously you take, you know, what people are tweeting at you or crazy people writing letters or something like that. But nevertheless, this has engendered a lot of passion. This topic, that's for sure. Harry in Jacksonville. Harry, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, just saying that we promote this stuff from the youth playing ball all the way from the peewee football to all there, because when you got, even myself, when I was playing, that you wind up being a different age for the different teams you can play for, because I went from being 13 to being 11 just so I could play for the team. So we start the cheating from a young age, and then when we get caught, we act like we're surprised.
Well, I mean, I can't speak on up-aging kids or down-aging kids at Little League level. I've never been a part of anything like that. But regardless of whether that's the case or not, what does that have to do with the Astros specifically?
Because it's stealing the signs or whatever. I mean, who really cares? I mean, if you're that good and you can do that, more power to you.
But that has nothing to do with being good. They didn't steal the signs in a way that would prove they were good. They stole the signs because they had a monitor.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. If you've got a better mousetrap than somebody else, well, then more power to you.
Well, I mean, I see that's the problem. I mean, again, when I draw analogies or parallels to situations in the country, like I don't even need to do that here. The idea that, like, it's just nothing wrong with it, come on. Can we like, just because, just for the sake of winning or improving your self-situation doesn't mean you should do whatever with no regard to morality, with no regard to, you know, the acts that you are undertaking. Again, I said I have no problem with sign stealing, none. Zero, zilch. You see what's out there on the field, you're on the field, you figure it out, you're better. You did it. That's an observation. That's analysis. That's intellect. That's whatever you want to word you want to use. But when you're going into the, you know, dugout, locker room, hallway, and you've got the monitor and you're relaying the signs in real time to the guy at the plate to give him an unfair advantage, you're cheating. And we shouldn't just like dismiss cheating as okay because it worked. That's crap. Right? I mean, I feel like such a like a an old man whenever I use like, what about your kids kind of example. But you wouldn't, would you be okay with that? If your children were getting straight A's on their test because they were being fed the answers through an earpiece, would you say good job because you got the A? I mean, come on. 855-212-4227. Let's go to CJ in Frankfort, Illinois. You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, Robin. You know, what's really funny to me is that this whole thing stinks from so many different angles and directions that I really take issue with people of questionable character like David Ortiz in the first place that want to blame the guy who actually shed light on this. You know, I wouldn't go so far as to call Mike Fiers a victim, but it is kind of what we do in society these days. We want to blame the victim and victim shame here instead of taking issue with the actual scandal, you know, at hand here. I mean, out of all the things from the poor process that Manfred has taken in recent days from the Astros themselves, because just the way they've handled it, they'd be better if they just shut up and just didn't say anything, because every time somebody opens their mouth, they make it worse. But this is what people have an issue with. Oh, what stays in the clubhouse, you know, what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. You know, we're not talking about a little argument between teammates or a manager or something like this. This whole thing stunk from the entire Astros organization from top down. They knew about this. And maybe that's why he didn't feel comfortable, or maybe he did, but knew nothing was going to happen anyway because the GM was in on this. And you're not going to convince me otherwise that the owner, Jim Crane, didn't know about this as well.
Well, the Astros had a lot of problems, too. Remember the Stephanie Epstein issue? You know, as the culture of the Houston Astros is clearly broken, right? You know, they had the guy in the, I forget his name now, the assistant GM was in the locker room basically bragging they had signed someone who committed domestic violence in the past, and they initially like fired back at the reporting and were totally against it, and then they admitted it was true and didn't do anything, and then they eventually fired that guy. Like, that was a story that played out over weeks and was a bit of a window into how the Astros operate. So, I mean, there's a broken culture in Houston regardless. We kind of knew that. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jordan in Dallas. Jordan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
So I was going to talk about the term snitch.
Okay.
If you use the term snitch, it's usually because you're involved in the illegal act yourself or you're doing the wrong yourself. That's what the term is for. People that are in the right and doing the right aren't the ones that are going to use the word snitch.
Yeah.
Hence why it's funny that David Ortiz is the one that came out and used the word snitch. Like, that's a criminal act, or you're doing something wrong, or you're doing something that people don't feel is right, and someone in that same group told on you. That's where you call a snitch. Just that term means, hey, I'm okay, I've done bad things, or I'm doing bad things, and this person is, I can't believe he would tell on the people that are in the group.
I'm a street drug dealer, and I'm telling on the supplier. Or I'm a thug, and I'm telling on on the mob boss. Yeah.
The one thing I have that I feel bad about the pitcher is, man, if you feel like they were doing something wrong, and you feel like you need to tell, you don't wait. If you really feel that in your heart, or you feel like, man, I just can't do this, you don't wait. You don't care what the implications are. You don't care when you do it. if you really truly feel that way, then you should come out as soon as you feel that way. And that's where I feel like he just why did he wait so long? Why did he wait till after the World Series? Why did he wait? If you really truly felt that way, then you should have came out as soon as you felt that way, or as soon as you felt that you or you saw or found out about the wrong. And that's where I feel like just the just the culture, or just not just sports, that people are okay with gray area. And then when someone gets mad or comes out about the gray area, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you come out about the gray area. It's like, man, if you either do wrong or you do right. There is no gray area. And for him to wait as long as he did, that's where I kind of just – I mean, he was a whistleblower. He wasn't a snitch. But it's just kind of like if you feel wrong about something, you feel bad, just do it. You do the right thing. You don't – there's no in-between. And the people that get mad are the people that are in between, or they're doing the wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, doing the right thing isn't always easy. But I agree fundamentally. I also understand there are some factors that make it more difficult, like currently being employed by that team, like, you know, being in the locker room with those guys when all that went down. So it's easier said than done. But fundamentally, ideally, I agree with what you're saying, of course. You know, you do the right thing regardless of what the consequences are. That's like what we're taught about heroes, right? Like, you know, if you're a hero, that's what you do. But it isn't that easy to be a hero. There aren't that many heroes. You know, you hear, like, quotes in the other direction. What's the opposite quote? The opposite quote, the only thing that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I mean, that's, you know, that would be the other end of that spectrum. As far as Mike Fiers being labeled a snitch, what do you make of that? 855-212-4227. That's the word David Ortiz used. And this is a story that's not going away, clearly, because every different wrinkle, every different layer has people reacting to what happened with the Houston Astros and the fallout that continues to happen for Major League Baseball. My question is also, like, you know, when's the Red Sox shoe dropping? Because that's the thing that's sitting there quiet. You know, if you're Rob Manfred, well, Rob Manfred's facing a dilemma. I'll tell you what that is coming up next. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.